I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
Hey Gloom listeners, it's the Plague. Question for you, are you ready to perform at your peak? Well, our man P-Soup and the Apex Men's Clinic is here to help you achieve optimal health. Whether it's managing general health concerns, recovering from injuries, or optimizing your hormones, they have you covered. Their comprehensive services include testosterone replacement therapy, cutting-edge treatments, and personalized care plans tailored just for you. At Apex Men's Clinic, you're not just another number. Their expert team is dedicated to helping you feel your best. Visit apexmensclinic.com today to schedule a free consultation. At Apex Men's Clinic, it's men's health done right.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. I got another great leader. It's amazing how many guys in this group are just phenomenal men and leaders in the community. And this guy's wearing his F3 gear, is ready to go, and is going to have some good insight for us here, because I'm talking to our man Scoober. And as you may know, he's helped us really launch into this kind of non-traditional AO, like how do we support even more guys, kind of that open to all men principle. So Scoober, it's good to see you. And where we'd like to start off is just the beginning. Who EH'd you? If you remember, what was your first workout like? And then talk us through the name Scoober.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for having me, Clark. I've been looking forward to this since I signed up to be a PsyQ, nice. I think. So, named Scoober. That name came from Doppler. Still think he had just watched an episode of Parks and Rec, where one of the characters goes and plays Ultimate in the park and says something like "Rock that Scoober" or something like that, right? Because when I said, "Oh, it's a throw," you must have known what that is. He had no idea that a Scoober was actually a way to throw a frisbee, but that's all right. It's kind of fun to explain to people that it's just a present thing. The EH process was probably Biff's easiest EH, Biff EH me, very easily. So I've known Biff for a while. He works for HDR, company I just joined. But previously I worked for Union Pacific and used HDR as a consultant. So I'd known Biff for a while, pre his F3 days. But then, you know, COVID hit and I didn't see him for a long time. And I had went to an Ultimate tournament in mid-July 3 years ago for the first time in, I don't know, 10 years probably. But I was playing with a Masters team, which was nice because everybody was old, as old as I was. So that said, I was still really out of shape, you know, but I loved it. Ultimate tournaments used to be kind of one of the highlights of my life before my wife and kids, you know. But come back from that tournament, and I'm playing golf in a golf outing with Biff. And I see Biff, and he's down, you know, 67 pounds, whatever he was down, looking phenomenal. And I was like, dude, I got to get in shape. I had to do that. And he told me about F3, and I was like, that sounds awesome. Later that night, I called him. I was like, this was on a Monday. I had just gotten back in the tournament. And I was like, where are you going tomorrow? And he said, well, tomorrow, I'm going to, there's a pop-up for the Helix. It was like, I don't know if it was their first pop-up before they launched or maybe the second one, but Pantyhose was on the queue. So, it was like, I'm going there. It's in Dillsborough Park. And all you gotta do is bring work gloves and a cup for coffee. Yeah, nice. And so I said, well, I'm there. So I showed up. The beatdown was, let me just go back a step. I'm walking, I pull in, and it's dark. It's walking up to guys is around in a circle and see all these flags flying. And I'm kind of like, what the heck am I just getting myself into? First thing I hear pantyhose say is, welcome to S3. You got 5 core principles. We're always free. And I'm thinking, are we talking freedom here? And I just walk into a big, like, nationalist group of guys and was a little bit trepidatious, mm-hmm. but suck it out, got through that. And then, you know, we ran up to the basketball court, did some jumping jacks, which was the first time I'd done jumping jacks in probably 30 years. Then ran over to the hill, and I was like, man, I used to run hills all the time. I can do this. And ran up the hill as fast as I could and about biffed it and ran, you know, tripped over my feet. But made it back down, and then it was a little bit of a station workout, which was good. You know, got some talked to Ziff and met OPC, stands out. You know, not like he's loud in the face or anything, but
well, he can be.
But him being there, he can be, right? But he was also super welcoming. Yeah. So, you know, I just, you know, remember him being there. I don't remember many other guys. I think Toplin was at there, but it was a good workout. I will say it wasn't overly difficult, I didn't feel like, but maybe that's just because my adrenaline was so high. Yeah. I don't know. No offense, pantyhose. It was a good workout. but then in the circle, you know, I threw out all the basic stuff about family, work, and none of that took. And then I, you know, said I played ultimate and Doppler threw out scuba, and pantyhose didn't take the bait right away. So I stood there and stared at people.
Yeah.
Blank face, not knowing what the heck I'm supposed to do. And finally he said, well, scuba it is. So that's how I got the name scuba.
That's awesome. I, you know, it's so funny. Like different guys and their recollection of the first workout, you've got a pretty good memory there that, you know, it sounds like it stood out to you. What do you remember your second post? I mean, were you kind of hooked right away?
Yes.
And did you go back Wednesday or what was your process like?
So I loved it. But like I said, I just got back from a Frisbee tournament and then I went and did that. And I think it was when I was running up that hill, but I woke up Wednesday morning. I was like, my knee kind of hurts, you know? So I had bad knees for a long time. So I told, you know, texted Biff, and I was like, I think I'm going to give it a week and see if it calms down. Cause that was more that Frisbee tournament. And then that was like more athletic activity than I'd done in a long time. So I took a couple weeks off and then I called him. I was like over the weekend and I was like, where are you going? On Monday he said, well, I'm the site queue at the district. So I will be doing a MRF on Monday. So my second workout was a MRF.
Oh, wow.
Hard to forget that. I'm not as badass as some of those guys that, you know, do a MRF the first workout, but I can claim second. I remember that was one of the hardest things I'd done in my life. You know, I think I got like one, maybe two pull-ups done out of 100 before I was putting my feet up on something and doing just modified ones. I couldn't even get through 20 push-ups the first set, you know? So by the end, I think I got like 3 push-ups in that 10th set and the running, you know, the district is not a flat MRF by any means. So I still remember, you know, coming out of that, out of the park there, trying to do my second, you know, that second little 2/3 mile run and like running up that hill and getting about 4 houses in and just hitting the wall and having to walk. And so struggled through that. That said, you know, as hard as a MRF is, it's an awesome measuring stick because it's the same workout every week. So I started going to the MRF every Monday for probably 4 or 5 months because I liked to see, you know, well, I did a lot better this week than I did last week. Kind of thing. So if you don't think you can do a MRF, you can get through a MRF and you can get better at MRFs is what I'd say to everybody.
How about today? Can you feel like you can do pretty much a full MRF without too much modifying or?
So if it wasn't for the current injury I'm dealing with, I would say I can do everything but pull-ups, and I can do, you know, probably 4 or 5 pull-ups per round.
That's still a lot of pull-ups, right?
Yeah. It gets tough. Maybe not 4 or 5 on the last two, but I can get through it. Like I said, you know, you can always trudge through it. You know, nobody's checking it to make sure you get it done. So just push yourself so you can.
Well, I love it, and I think you're spot on. The Murph has always been this really great measuring stick because it's the same every time, right? You always know what you're going to get, and you kind of compare, you know, how did I do last time? And I think that's a great insight. I'm curious, as you look back sort of at life, and maybe this you can kind of talk us through how you got into Frisbee, but what was like growing up and sort of your fitness journey through the years, like what was that like for you?
Sure. So growing up, you know, I played soccer my whole youth. I tried baseball. I liked farm, used to be called farm. Now it's called coach pitch or whatever. Liked that. Was pretty good at that. Had enough athletic ability to get by. But as soon as we switched to kid pitch and I started getting hit by pitches all the time, I said, screw this, I'm out. And pretty much at that point, just focused on soccer. Played a few years of select soccer. Played a few years of rec soccer. In high school, I played soccer through my junior year. I got cut from the team that won state championship my senior year, so that was pretty lame. But continued to play soccer after high school, basically indoor on, you know, the carpet turf. And then about 3 years in, or probably like 2 years into college, I think, I don't know, at the time I didn't have health insurance, so I never went and got it checked out, but, did a tried to turn with a defender on my back and just went down in a heap. Pretty sure I tore my meniscus in my left knee. I ended up just taking like a year off of doing anything at that point. But kind of in that time frame when I was playing indoor soccer, I picked up competitive ultimate in college. Had a just was looking for something to get involved in and saw a flyer that somebody was trying to start a team at UNL. And I was like, sure, that sounds good. So got a bunch of my engineering school nerd buddies and showed up and we created a team and went to some tournaments. Got absolutely smoked. I think our first tournament, we scored 1 point all weekend in about 6 games. Yeah, it was rough. But I was hooked, you know. It was, ultimate is kind of in college, especially is kind of a huge party, you know? So I just loved that party. I was never in a fraternity. But the ultimate team was kind of like that for me. I mean, a lot of fellowship and a lot of, support, but also a lot of fun, supported me in my bad habits, drinking habits, that kind of stuff. But then I took that year off and then I came back and I did never play soccer again. I think I'd kicked a soccer ball about 4 or 5 times since then. But I came back and I played ultimate semi-competitively on that team. Got dealt here again and was basically since then, like my main, since I had kids, I pretty much play summer league ultimate. And that was my big athletic endeavor every year. That's just local here in Omaha. Other athletic stuff over the years, you know, I have tried to convince myself that I'm a runner 3 or 4 different times. During COVID, especially, you know, when I didn't have anything else to do and I just need to get out of the house, I would just go run around like Sarinsky. By myself, I did complete a half marathon before I was in A3. Which was the only time I did it. But yeah, then I found A3 and that's been great. You know, I got in the best shape I'd been in since high school when I joined F3. Had some, I don't know if we're into this yet, but once I joined, you know, I had really enjoyed that, you know, first 6 months, lost 40 plus pounds and, like I said, best shape since high school, and Then, tore the meniscus in my right knee, doing a Murph. And that's kind of led to this up and down, you know, riding the hills of, you know, I'm injured, I can't do anything, I gain weight, and then I start to feel better, and I get back into it, and I drop weight, you know. But it's been pretty much the only athletic thing that I get to do, that I can do, and that I enjoy doing. I enjoy doing it more than anything on my own. So,
well, I remember, and I would love it just to hear your thoughts on, like, maybe what you've learned, or for other guys that have experienced that, you know, like, you're all in and then you get injured, and like, how do you stay motivated to come back or to try it again? Cause I think, you know, some guys we've seen over the years, right, they get injured and then we never see them again, or, you know, but I feel like I remember seeing you after your surgery, even like at coffee sometimes, or I guess what's been your strategy to kind of stay connected?
Yes. It's not an uncommon story, right? That everybody comes in and they're killing it and then they get an injury. Right. And you're right there. There's a couple, you can go one way or the other with that, right? You never come back or you're still committed. Right. I would say that I think my biggest thing was I had really missed the fellowship of other men during COVID. And so when I got injured, I was still like, I was really tight with guys like Doppler and Barbershop and Superfly, Oompa, obviously. But I guess that's maybe not obvious to people that don't know he's my brother-in-law, but,
they know now,
they know now. Right. So stay close with those guys. And it was just kind of like, there was about 8 week period after I got injured where I just couldn't jog. I couldn't jump. I could, you know, hardly walk normal before I went to even see the doctor. And I just missed those guys. So I would like try to go to coffee at that point. It was probably a week after surgery that, I was like, Doppler, pick me up. So Doppler came and picked me up. We went to Top Rope. I forget who was on the queue that day, but I was so excited just to be back in the gloom with the guys, even though I couldn't do anything. And, I was get out of the car on my crutches and I Doppler sets a chair up for me and I sit down in the chair, guys do the intro and then they take off and I don't see him for 45 minutes. It was a cold, windy morning and I was, you know, basically hobbling over to pick up flags and put them back on their shovels when they blew off. But otherwise I just sat there in a blanket. Hey, had in his car, got me a blanket before they took off.
Nice.
But, I would say that you want me to talk about how to stay connected there. And I would say like, maybe I'm not the best guy. There was a time in my life when everybody thought like, man, you're so committed. You're coming back, you know, on crutches and just hobbling around, doing what you can do. And, you know, that was good. And then I felt better and I was back into it, but, the subsequent injuries I've had have been, it's been a little bit of a different experience, I would say. I'm talking about injuries a lot and we're going to get to it. I'm sure everybody thinks the disco causes these injuries. They don't. None of these injuries have occurred at the disco, just to put that out there. I would say coming back from my other injuries, it's been a different experience. I was talking to Oop about this the other day, but it gets harder to like show up and explain why you can't do everything or why you've been missing it because you've been injured. Me personally, it's like I miss the guys when I can't post, but I also like I kind of dread just showing up and talking about how I'm injured again. You know, it's kind of tough. So, I would say that, you know, like getting out to coffee when you can is great. It's everybody still happy to see you. You know, I at first felt weird showing up just for coffee after not, you know, earning it by going through the workout with the guys. But I think all guys all understand that, you know, you're just getting out there for that fellowship is just as important as the first part of it. So, focus on that. I mean, I'm telling myself this, that like, get up and go get that fellowship because that's what sorry, my favorite F is the second F, and I miss it when I'm not out there. So,
well, talk us
That's not really an answer. No, to your
it's
question,
it's great. But... You know, I think it's interesting, right? Because there's some. It's almost like a mental battle of sorts, right? Where you're like, because you don't want to show up and like you want to show up and see the guys. You don't want to show up and not be able to do mm-hmm. anything. And then, like you're saying, it's not really fun to just talk about. Like, you know, you're injured, right? You don't really want to like have mm-hmm. to just focus on right. that. But talk us through when you think about the fellowship piece, maybe what is it that you find so valuable about those male relationships? And then would also love to just hear, how did you go about building those relationships as you got into the group?
Sure. So what I find valuable about male relationships is that there's like guys are, it's just easier to talk to guys about stuff, right? I mean, my wife obviously is great. I love my wife, I can talk to her about my struggles and my challenges, but sometimes it's just easier to talk mm-hmm. to guys because they've been through it, right? And so just knowing that I'm not going to get judged, that I can, talk to guys and about what I'm going through and find they would have been going through the same things or something similar. It's just a relief sometimes to know that you're not the only one going through something. Yeah. So that's been huge for me. I feel like I'm a pretty social guy in general. I did what we called man group. With some guys nice. From church, just where we just get together at the bar and, you know, have a couple drinks once a month and talk through what it's like being a guy in today's mm-hmm. world, you know, and what we're going through and that kind of stuff. And that was really helpful for me. That kind of fell off when I started F3 because when you're waking up at 4:30 in the morning, it's hard to stay up till 11. So I missed a lot of those. Plus, when you're only doing it once a month and you end up traveling to work or something, you just end up missing that kind of trail off. But guess what? You know, F3 is there every morning. So you can just get your butt out of bed. You can be there for it. And it's there for you. So building relationships with those guys, I'd say, though, really comes down to something Oompa says a lot or he heard somewhere a lot is that, you know, friendships are formed on the frequent unplanned interaction or so, it's something like that that he says, you know, and you know, just showing up and seeing the same guys, you know, in fact when we started there was 3 or 4 sites a day when I started, right? So I'd go to Top Rope and see the same guys mm-hmm. every week, you know, and I'd go to Helix and see the same guys every week. And so it kind of just happened that, you know, Doppler and Barbershop and Superfly and me all kind of just ended up at those sites every week, and just seeing them every week, you know, led to lots of conversations at coffee, which then led to deeper conversations at coffee once you get comfortable with guys. And so once you kind of get to that point, you know, you're able to talk about pretty much anything you're going through. So I would say that the biggest key for me in building those relationships was going to coffee afterwards and just making time. In my previous job, I had gotten to a point where I just didn't care about it as much. And so I had no problem sitting at coffee till 7:30, 8 o'clock sometimes. And Barbershop kind of would do the same thing sometimes. And so him and I got real close and ended up going to a lot of the same sites every week. And, those guys were great.
Have you guys, a couple of questions. So did Oompa start before you or did you EH him?
I EH'd Oompa.
Okay. I was going to say, if he started before you and you got EH'd by somebody else, that's not a good look for Oompa.
No, I EH'd Oompa. I remember, you know, I'd been going for about a week when I was like, I gotta get Oompa into this too, you know, he'd really enjoy it. And it took a little while with him, but just to get over the getting up early, I think, thing.
For sure. But
of all the guys on the EH tree he's the one that still shows up a lot. So.
For sure. What about, have you guys formed like an official shield lock or what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, so those other four guys I talked about, you know, we had a shield lock that was pretty tight for a while. I would say we struggled to get off the ground due to people's schedules and, you know, Barbershop had a baby pretty short into that. And then Superfly had a baby and Superfly is being the good husband that he is, was letting his M go to FIA a couple times a week, which made, you know, limited our chances to, you know, do stuff on our own. So, you know, we had a really strong text chain going, and we got really close and it's a really good conversations, but I would say we struggled to get off the ground, from a like getting together on a regular basis kind of thing. So currently I would say that I'm not in an active shield lock, but I still consider those guys like some of my best friends. Yeah. So,
well, it's so cool to just hear kind of this thread of like, the need for male relationships and kind of that team aspect and just how you've, you know, kind of along your journey, you've got to experience that. I'm curious. How do you think, and this is just kind of a random question, curious your thoughts, but like, as we keep expanding and adding new sites and maybe that has an impact on those sort of frequent unplanned interactions. I don't know. What's your take on that, I guess?
I would say that's a really accurate statement. You know, when I started, like I said, there were three or four sites a day. And so it was easy to travel to other sites and still see the same guys. Right. I kind of got into a habit of what I'd say queue chasing the guy that I wanted to work out with that day. And driving as far as I had to do that. Right. And that continued as we added more and more and more sites. And pretty soon I realized, like, I hardly know any of these guys. You know, I showed up at Top Rope after not being there for 6 months and was like, I know like two of the 35 guys that are here, you know? So, you know, they're all friendly and I got no problem getting to know people and saying hi and that kind of stuff. But, you know, you don't have those stronger relationships. So if I started today, I would, I can't say I would for sure, but I would encourage myself to maybe stick closer to home and just see, you know, I'm not saying don't go out and see other sites and like try other sites, but like if you're trying to build a relationship and fellowship, staying close to the sites closest to your place is the best way to do that. Cause then you're going to see the guys that are also in that area, more regularly. Yeah. You know, when I started, main stage was kind of close to my house. But now there's four sites closer than main stage, you know, so, and they're all on different days. So I could stay within 4 minutes of my house every day, but I don't, even when I'm posting regularly, I'm all over the damn city. So,
yeah, it's interesting because I think the kind of the way, you know, the vision from like Dread and OBT, right, when they started F3 was you would just go wherever's closest to your house. But I think our culture in F3 Omaha is such that there is like a desire to go and, hey, my friend's queuing over here. And, you know, and so then like, the number of guys that are at the same site every week is, you know, few and far between. And then you add shovel passes and VQs and anniversary queues.
Got to get to those events, man.
Special
events. Two shovel passes a day in the summer around here. Yeah. You know, it's crazy.
I am curious too. And we'll get more into the details on the, on the disco, but I know the disco has kind of brought in some maybe younger guys or just maybe different guys. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like the fellowship aspect is going for those guys?
Sure. So I think everybody knows what the disco is, right? I call it the ultimate AO because you play ultimate frisbee. It does a lot of that bringing in younger guys, right? And the flip side of that is that a lot of older guys are like, I'm never going to the disco. I'll get hurt. You know, I can't do that like quick change of direction stuff. And, you know, there's probably something to that. But, we do tend to pull in younger crowds, which, you know, I wasn't sure how I felt about it at first, especially when you start seeing, you know, Pike's bringing his two sons, and now he's got Tonka coming, and Tonka's seven or eight years. He might be nine, but he's a, you know, young kid. But man, seeing the smile on that kid's face, and like that dude, that little kid has stepped into the circle and talked about how important, you know, coming to the disco and the F3 guys have been to him, and been, you know, it was kind of opened my eyes to, like, you know, it's fine. What are we here for? We're here for these other, I won't call him a man yet, but these other men, right? future men, right? And that's a good segue into kind of what my thought process here is, that the disco has allowed some outreach to some guys that don't currently have an interest in coming out to mm-hmm. beatdowns, right? Or they're not going to get up for a beatdown, but they will get up to come play a competitive sport, right? And so there's a bunch of guys, and I probably, you know, some people probably think this is a bad thing, but there's definitely some guys that come to the disco regularly that never go to any mm-hmm. other beatdowns. And my argument to that is like, yeah, but, you know, F3 finds us when we need F3, right? Or we find it when we need it. And who's to say that in the future they may not be in a position where, you know, the rest of F3 is something they really need. And now they know it exists. They're already introduced to it. All they got to do is show up. So, you know, I would say we're trying to push some of those guys to try other things too. You know, every once in a while, a Q will talk about how great the rest of F3 is. And
yeah,
some guys look lost, but we try to get them out. You know, so we'll keep pushing that. And you know, I hear all the time, like, "Hey man, I went to something else." I'm just like, "Awesome, that's great." You know, so that's kind of what we're going for, is just getting introduced, be that gateway drug to the rest of F3.
Well, and you're still exposing them to the core principles and all of the ways that F3 operates, right? So to me, it's like you said, they know it exists. They're engaging, you know, based on their current capacity. And at some point, life changes and they, you know, they know where to find us, right, the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think you got to start somewhere. It's sort of like, how do you open that door just to kind of make that initial contact? And I mean, they're still being exposed to the COTs and the prayers and, you know, all of those other things too, the fellowship, and clearly the fitness side of things. So I love it. I think it, it's interesting, because you sometimes guys will say, well, it's hard to build relationships with guys where maybe you don't have a lot in common, right? So if you're young and single and in college, you may not want to hang out with me and talk about my struggles with marriage and being a dad, you know, but they know where to find us when they're ready for that, for sure.
Right. And yeah, I mean, I would say that there's probably a core group of about 15 to 20 guys that come regularly, you know, and they range in ages and athletic ability, and you know, you got guys like Baby Shoes that are young and built like a Greek goddess, you know. Yes, I said goddess, deal with it, Baby Shoes. and then you got, you know, like guys on the other end of the spectrum, like I'm getting towards, and then, you know, Big Ben and Hype are just out there, you know, and they're killing it. You know, it's also kind of fun for me as a ultimate enthusiast to just see like skill growth from those guys playing week after week. You know, I remember Amazing showed up, but couldn't catch a disc when it hit him right in the, you know, right in the chest. And now he's making one-handed grabs and catching and rolling and stuff like that. So, you know, it's kind of fun to see.
Well, and there's something to be said about having fun, right? I mean, I think there's, we take ourselves too seriously, right? Plenty of opportunity in life to be serious. And so giving guys a place where, hey, let's come out, let's have fun, let's, you know, smile and laugh and enjoy each other's company. You know, not every beatdown is that way. So, you know, having a spot where that's available every week is awesome.
I would say, Plague, to that, you came to the launch, but we haven't seen it since. But But what you just said has been a COT at the disco at least a dozen times. Guys, I just got to get out here and have fun. And it's been great.
I struggle with having fun, and I think I still have PTSD from watching flowers at the launch, but we'll talk about that.
Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. And a special offer for F3 Nation PAX members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate.
I want to segue to a little bit into the third F and kind of get your thoughts. And, you know, I wonder, I remember, you know, vividly this awesome conversation we had one time at QSOARS, and you were kind of talking about your faith journey, and, you know, so I don't know how deep you want to share, but would just love to hear kind of what's been that journey for you, where you at today, how do you kind of keep actively searching for what you believe in that space. Curious what's on your mind
there. Yeah, I would say that's a good way to put it, actively searching, right? So you know, I grew up Catholic. My mom was a youth minister at church. I was in choirs and went to Catholic school. I did that. You know, I went to Catholic high school. So growing up, I was very Catholic, and especially as a kid, I had no doubts and a lot of guilt. Mm-hmm. And then I got to high school. And I went to a Jesuit high school, Creighton Prep here in Omaha. You know, not with Birdman and Sparty, but you're behind them. And kind of, I feel like the Jesuits kind of challenge you a little bit. Like they do teach you what the church teaches on a lot of things, but they also teach you kind of to think critically, about stuff. And I've always been kind of a analytical person. And so you mix that challenge of thinking about things and the why and with someone whose brain works like me, and you lead to starting to question your faith. Pair that with a girlfriend who's got no interest in religion at all. And in about a year and a half, I went from being, you know, an active member of youth group and making my mom proud to, this is all yes mm-hmm. to me mm-hmm. at the time, you know? I would say that, like, I would currently call myself a Christian, but I still have doubts. I still want to overanalyze everything and ask myself, or ask the why and the how. I know what the Bible says, but I'm always like, well, who's to say the Bible's right? You know, I don't have that innate, well, to the Bible, so it's God's word kind of thing, you know, which makes it a struggle. That said, I think back to all the conversations I have, and I find myself, maybe my wife would say I like to argue, but I find myself, if I'm talking to somebody who's a, you know, strong Christian, I will find myself trying to challenge them and ask questions that challenge them. But if I find myself talking to an atheist, I find myself trying to challenge them and, like, find out why they believe what they do, or you know, maybe, well, why isn't what Christianity says right? You know, that kind of thing. So without giving specific examples, I just kind of, I just find myself filling the role of the challenger to people's current status, which, you know, maybe there's some value in that, but I think really what I'm trying to do in those situations is make myself think and maybe try to discover stuff myself. But, you know, as far as actively trying to improve on it, I would say, or to improve my relationship with God and the rest of the world. Maybe I'm not as active as I should be. Let's put it that way. I've went through the phases where I read a lot of scripture and I try to, you know, get deep into that. And I'll go, like I said, I go through phases. And there's times when that seems really powerful and really helpful. And then there's times when it just doesn't, you know, and I can't really explain why. I would just say it's a journey. The one thing I would say that really brought me back to Christianity, for what it's worth, you know, growing up Catholic, I was just told about, you know, everything I was doing wrong and all my mistakes. And then my wife grew up Presbyterian, and when I joined her church, the pastor at the time, you know, phenomenal guy, has passed away since, but kind of helped me work through that and realize that, like, religion is not guilt. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And, like, it doesn't matter what you've done or what you do, you know, Jesus is already there for you. Yeah. You know, he's already saved you. So that, you know, that kind of reopened the door to religion for me, but I just haven't latched on to anything and, like, really.
Yeah.
I like the conversations. Like, that conversation we had at Keysource was super powerful for me. That said, I did not go and start reading scripture again afterwards, but it doesn't mean it wasn't valuable. So, seek out conversations that challenge you, I guess is what I would say.
Well, and I think what I love particularly is, you know, kind of tying together, like, the value of having other men right around to just have these conversations, but also not requiring, like, agreement on an issue to be the basis of our relationship, right? It was sort of like we can agree to disagree, or we can share our perspectives but still have respect and love for each other. And I think, you know, especially in the times we're in today, that sort of those relationships like that, where you're challenging each other to think differently, to think deeper, those are rare. I mean, that's not what you're getting if you're trying to build relationships on social media, right? You're not getting anything at that level. And so I appreciated just your transparency of sort of where you were at, and then just asking those questions. Cause I mean, I don't think it matters how long you've believed something. I think always refreshing your mind on why and how, and, you know, I mean, those are the questions just to always be kind of asking. So I don't know. It was, I still remember that so vividly, because I think we stayed at, I don't know, an extra 20 minutes or so to just, like, just continuing the conversation, because it was so great. So just appreciate your perspective there. What would you, I don't know if you have any advice. I loved your advice on, like, you know, ask questions, have conversations that challenge you, but for guys that maybe shy away from that, how did you get to be that way, or is that just kind of how you are, or any sort of starter tips for a guy that's like, I want to search, but I don't even know how to start?
Yeah. I wish I had a better answer for that, Plague. I think it goes back to me being a social person, just allows me to, talk to people. And I also am not good at hiding my emotions. I kind of just wear them on my sleeve. So, like, when something pops in my head or a thought pops in my head about something we're talking about, I just don't hold back. Like, I put it out there to get, you know, for people's opinion. Now, I think I have a filter. It's just, it's leaky. Let's put it that way. But I would say, and it's far, you know, it's easier said than done, obviously, but if you struggle with that, I would say that going to those conversations, whether you talk or not, just exposing yourself to conversations like that, like, you know, some guys get more out of Keysource than others. Yep. There's definitely some topics in Keysource that I'm just not interested in. But some of them are good. And I think showing up and I did not go to that Q source thinking we were going to have a phenomenal conversation. You know, I've most Q sources I go to, I go and I just kind of hang back, you know, and let the people that really want to have that conversation have that conversation. But in that moment, that one spoke to me, and it wouldn't have if I wouldn't have, you know, decided to go to that and expose myself to it. So, go expose yourself and, you know, that sounds maybe not the right way to put that, but expose yourself to those conversations. Don't expose yourself to Q source. It's frowned upon, especially inside of karma. You know, if you don't put yourself in that situation, you're never going to have the opportunity to, you know, hear other people's opinions or speak your mind. And, you know, go in and have those conversations, builds that relationship, which ideally, you know, lubricates your ability to share your feelings and have those conversations. Yeah. So, the more often you can do that, the better.
Mm-hmm. I love it. The other thing, and I've probably given this COT 100 times, but this idea that, you know, the filter, right? It's like, well, okay, there's, you know, we should all have a little bit of a filter, but if there is a place where you can let that leak a little bit, F3 is that place, right? I mean, we talk about iron sharpening iron, and if you're always like this super polished version of yourself when you're around this group, right? It's like, well, you know, iron can't sharpen iron if it's not exposed, right? So I think that's what I always think of is like, say what's on your mind, right? Have those conversations, allow another guy's perspective to maybe change yours, right? Or, you know, or enhance it or whatever. But, So I like that, the leaky filter and go expose yourself. That's going to be a quote from the episode for sure. I'm curious because, you know, life's not always easy, right? There's all these ups and downs. What has there been anything for you that kind of stands out in your journey that's been maybe like a pivotal challenge or moment where you feel like you've gotten to this place that you are now?
So I would say we kind of talked about it a little bit, but injuries and dealing with injuries that kind of come out of nowhere. Have been real, you know, the first one was almost invigorating, to the point where like I was excited to be that guy that showed up on crutches. Like I was that committed. I thought that was cool. And then that kind of wore off. But it did kind of get me through that recovery period to the point where I could get back out there, and be a full participant. But I would say for me, over the last year, just planting the disco flag has been like, has kept me connected to F3, right? Even when I've had a couple injuries that have made it hard to go out and mosey around, there's been times I've gone to the disco and like, I can barely walk, but I can walk around the field and throw a frisbee. So I'll do that and I'll get that fellowship with the guys. So, you know, it was awesome. I'm, like I said, I was sad to pass it, but, without it, I probably would have gone to darker places through the when I aggravated my knee last fall, just running, you know, ran market to market and felt great. Was back to that really good shape and dropped. Was even lower than I was the first time from a weight perspective. And then, market to market went great. And then I was training for the week and a half and went out and ran. And the next day I couldn't walk. And that set me back about 10 weeks. And then that led into winter and weather and all momentum gone. Yeah. But then coming out of winter, I came out and I was really trying to kill it again. And, I think I got back into it maybe too quickly and been dealing with tendonitis in my heel since late March. It just made it difficult. So injuries get in the way. But fellowship and seeing guys that you get to see, you know, get just invigorate me even when I can't physically keep up. So
I love it. And that's a good you know, as you think about disco, want to get your thoughts on sort of, you know, how that idea came up and how you launched that site. And then maybe talk us through, I don't know if you have any advice or for guys that are leading sites or maybe have ideas on future sites, but talk us through the disco and how that went for you.
Yeah. So, you know, I had we'll go way back here. So I'm a big fan of merch. I love shirts. And I'd logged on to just see what was out there one day, and I forget where it was, but somebody had had an F3 Ultimate shirt out there. And I was like, oh man, somebody's got an Ultimate AO. And then it wasn't these guys, but Wentworth went to Indianapolis. And they have an Ultimate site. And he was like, yeah, it was terrible because they play on concrete. And I was like, that's not Ultimate. That sounds terrible. But you know, I you know, because my name is Ultimate related, it had led to multiple conversations, you know, guys like Wentworth and Tea Party, especially, like, you know, other guys that have played Ultimate and thought it was really fun were like, you know, we should get together and play Ultimate sometime. So 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, coming out of that winter as it started to get warmer, I was like, well, let's do some pre-Ultimate. So we went to Westside before, I think it was before Coliseum, and we had about 9 guys show up to play Ultimate beforehand. And that went great. And then I was like, well, why don't we just get together at 5:30 and do just play Ultimate every once in a while. So we did that the next week. And we had 15 guys. And then I was like, this is great. Let's just play Ultimate a few times here. So I just kept doing those pop-ups. We did one at Burke, and we had 25 guys. Actually, in those early days, I remember thinking every week, we're going to have 4 guys show up and this is going to fall apart. And then we're not going to be even able to play. So I was like, we'll just run if we have some, right? But every time there was just plenty of guys showing up. And we probably did that about 7 or 8 times. And then we got Gator to show up. I didn't ask him to. He just showed up. And the day he showed up, there were 25 guys there. And he was like, dude, we should make this a site. And so then, you know, conversations with Grizz, some of the other leadership, I think yourself and Tater. And initially there was a little pushback. Maybe we should just do a sports site because there's guys that want to play basketball, things like that, right? And I was like, okay, whatever. You know, I did have a great name for a sports site. We were going to be Discs and Balls. It was going to be great. Thought to be
that'd be appropriate, right?
I don't know if you want to yell that in church, which is, you know, what people say about nicknames, but it would have worked, right? But eventually it just kind of came to the point where, you know, a bunch of guys were like, I just want to play Ultimate. Like, I don't want to do any of that stuff. So Dare was like, if we're pulling 25 guys to play Ultimate on a regular basis, let's just do it, you know? So him and I met for lunch, and he was like, I think I got Tater Tot on board. But we're going to rotate sites and go serve all 3 sectors and 4 sectors, whatever we are, and try to, you know, play at the Pavilion and play at Westside and play out in Millard. And then, you know, we met for lunch. We had 1 official pop-up, and then we launched the next week. So it was quick. As far as advice for guys that are already leading the site or thinking about that, I would say the advice is just that we've already got it. We're already told that we're free to lead, right? Try something. You know, when I started doing those pop-ups, I didn't have a idea to we're going to make this official. I just wanted to play Ultimate. So I was like, let's find some other guys that just want to play Ultimate and get together and play. And then it kind of caught fire. You know, a couple times earlier this year, we had 40 plus guys show up, which, as much as I love it when we get those huge numbers, it's almost too many. Like, you can't even hardly play. You know, we can play with about 30 comfortably, maybe 32, but you get more than that and it's just, it's unruly. It's not enough space to move. But, you know, you never know what other guys are going to like. So again, you know, have conversations about things you like to do and maybe it'll, you know, become something. Yeah. You never know.
I love it, man. And it's been cool to just watch it grow. And, you know, who knows, maybe we'll add another one or a different type of, you know, maybe we'll get that, the balls, we'll just call it the balls.
yeah, it's an option. Awesome. Yeah, we've talked about how you could possibly starfish the disco. And it's like, if you don't do it on the same day, all the guys that go to Discord are just going to go to the other site the other day too. So you're still going to have the same huge numbers, you know, just kind of is what it is. So, you know, Baby Shoes and I have talked about potential ways to deal with huge numbers and we've got some ideas and we always get through it. That's the thing about F3, right? You show up, things don't go as planned and then you modify and you get through it. So,
well, I love it, man. And I really appreciate just your story and just the value that you've added to the group, the impact you've had. And, you know, just curious as you think about where you're at today and, you know, kind of moving forward, where do you need sort of prayers or encouragement from guys? What could we nudge you about as we see out there? Or if we shoot you a text, what could we be checking in on?
Sure. I mean, healing for my heel would be great, but I know that that's a very minor problem compared to what some other guys have. A lot of guys are going through a lot of stuff that is a lot more serious than what I'm going through. So I would say be open to what everybody else is needing. That said, you know, I could be getting up and rucking every day and I'm not, and that's partly my laziness, partly me not wanting to drag other guys down. So if you want to nudge me to get out and ruck, my phone's on. My phone number's on PaxNet. So let me know. I'll meet you. In fact, I'm going to main stage tomorrow. Well, this is going to post way later, so it's not going to matter. But I already said I'm going to main stage and for the flag pass, and I'm just going to ruck. So just push me and push everybody else to get back out there when guys disappear.
Heck yeah, man. I love it.
We can all use a little bit of that re-H sometimes,
re-H. I love it. That term needs to catch on. There's a lot of guys in that boat for sure. Well, appreciate your time. Yep. Just again, love your story and always appreciate a chance just to chat with you. So we'll do a little name-a-rama here. I'll start us off. Brandon Fleeharty, 38, The Plague.
The Plague.
Josh Sauer, 40.
Scuba. And you've got the throw, but do we do is there a call sign or?
No. So one I liked that didn't catch on was when Swiper said Scuba, barely knew her, but it didn't catch on. So
awesome. Awesome, man. Well, good talking to you. Have a great rest of your day.